Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima. I'm Danny Cunningham, filling in for the guys right here on 92.3 The Fan. And now we head on out to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Bring in Chris Fedor, our friend from Cleveland.com, does a great job covering the Cleveland Cavaliers as they look to wrap up a four-game West Coast road trip with another win tonight in Dallas against the Mavericks, who will be playing without Luka Doncic. Chris, for you, good morning from Dallas, where you are up bright and early. But for you, what has been the most impressive part of this road trip so far?
Good morning, Danny. How are you?
I'm good.
I think the thing that stands out to me is that they're able to win these games in a variety of ways. And the formula for each win has been a little bit different. They obviously have a certain way that they want to play at both ends of the floor, but they're not married to that. And it doesn't have to be their only way. And I thought the other night against the Lakers, you know, they were running a lot of pick and roll stuff on the offensive end of the floor. And it's hard to do that against the Lakers because they put two on the ball when you're running pick and roll with Anthony Davis. And then they adjusted their plan in the second half, and they made the proper adjustments that they needed to in the second half to kind of unlock their offense in the third quarter. And I think that's the thing that stands out to me. It's funny, though, because, Danny, like so many people were talking about, you know, this is a test coming into this road trip, and the Cavs have to see how they play against better competition because they've had one of the easiest schedules to this point, and now the rest of the way they've got one of the hardest schedules. And I just kind of looked at it and said, they don't have to test themselves against the Nuggets and the Lakers and the Mavericks and the Warriors. They're better than those teams.
Right.
They've been better than those teams throughout the course of this season. They should be the test for the other teams, not the other way around.
Well, that's kind of what I wanted to get into, because I think the most impressive thing they've done on this trip is the way they handled the back-to-back, where they had two games tip off within 23 hours. Like, I think no matter who you are in the NBA, especially when you have to travel in between that, that's a difficult ask. But I also think that we're at the point where they're better than those teams, as you just mentioned. And I do wonder, when are we going to start seeing this team be judged based upon who they have been this season compared to being judged on what they have been in the previous two postseasons? Because I think that's a lot of the conversation nationally with certain parties. It's that, well, they haven't done it in the playoffs yet, so this doesn't really matter yet.
Yeah, I think it's in the playoffs.
Right.
I don't know that it's entirely fair. Yes, it is. It is a shame, and it's not entirely fair because this is a very different team, because everything points to them being a very different team. You know, the things that they've accomplished through the first 33 games, their record, their point differential, the winning streaks, the number of games that they've won by double digits. The only teams in NBA history that have accomplished what they have through the first 33 games are some of the best teams in NBA history. We're talking Celtics. We're talking dynastic Golden State Warriors. We're talking dynastic Chicago Bulls with Michael Jordan. That's the company that they put themselves in with what they've already accomplished. But I do think that there is a big segment of people that are saying, cool, like, are you just this regular season juggernaut, or can it translate to postseason success? It's unfair. It's disappointing. But that's the belief that people have based on what happened last year in the playoffs and what happened 2 years ago in the playoffs. But I think if you want evidence about how they're different, it's, you know, the variety of ways that they can win games. They can play big, they can play small, they can play fast, they can play slow, they can play inside, they can play outside. They don't have to have a whole bunch of three-pointers to win games. They don't have to have Donovan Mitchell to be great to win these games. They don't have to play a fast tempo in order to win these games. They can win with offense. They can win with defense. They're one of four teams in the NBA that are top 10 in both offense and defense. And usually that is a marker that points to who can legitimately go compete for a championship.
What has impressed you the most this year with what Evan Mobley has done on the offensive end of the floor? We all know who he is as a defender, which is one of the best in basketball, and he was just named Defensive Player of the Month yesterday. But offensively, what's impressed you most about the growth?
To me, Danny, it's just the fact that he's not as reliant on his teammates to create opportunities for him. You know, early on in his career, if you looked at the number of baskets that he made that were unassisted versus assisted, and it was striking. The difference this year in Evan is so many of the ways that he has been able to score, so many of the ways that he's been able to attack the defense. It hasn't been necessarily Darius creating those shots for him or Donovan creating those shots for him. He's got a number of baskets that are unassisted, and it's a striking difference from what it was in past years. The number of times that he's been used as a pick-and-roll ball handler has already surpassed what it was last year. So it's just a different kind of usage for Evan, a different kind of way for him to attack the defense. And he's doing a lot of it on his own. He's getting rebounds and he's pushing in transition. Like I said, he's operating as the pick and roll ball handler and inverted pick and rolls. So he's not just this guy who needs something set up on a silver platter to finish by Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, Caris LeVert. He has, as the cool kids like to say, he has a bag.
Oh, the cool kids.
Starting to grow a little bit more.
Well, the bag is growing a little bit more, but where do you even think, because all that stuff is accurate and that's been what has stood out, but what's next for him? Because I don't think, and I'm sure that you feel the same way with this, but I don't think he's done growing as a player. I think that anyone that thinks that really isn't watching him play basketball.
It's hilarious, Danny, because, you know, Donovan has said, like, this is the worst version of Evan Mobley that we're going to see.
And he says it every night.
He says it every night, and it's very, very scary to think about, like, where else this can go for Evan. But I think it's just more of a lot of the same things. I think it's just continuing to get comfortable in this expanded role with more touches, with more usage, with more shot attempts. It's like more of a belief that he is the guy, that what he does and the things that he is doing for this team are great for this team. Because I think, you know, in the past, there's always been this thing in the back of Evan's mind. Because he's always been programmed to play the right way and make the right play. And I think early in his career, when he was still developing and he was still becoming the player that he has shown himself to be this year, I don't know that there was a readiness from Evan to accept that a pull-up three in transition is a good thing for the Cavs, right? A catch-and-shoot from the corner is a good thing for the Cavs offense, or him attacking a defense in a crowd is a good thing for the Cavs. Like, I think there was always this thought in his mind of, like, should I pass it to Donovan? Is that better for us? Should I pass it to Darius? Is that better for us? And I think there's a decisiveness that he's playing with. I think there's a confidence that he's playing with. I think there's a freedom that he's playing with as well, where it's like, yes, these things that I'm doing, these things that they're asking me to do, these things that they're demanding me to do are good things for me in my development, but they're also good things for this team because I am that guy. But I think it's just continuing to believe that he is that guy. I think that's the next step for him.
Chris Fedor,
and being more vocal might be a little bit of that too.
Well, yeah, getting him to talk
more
would be good.
Yes, if being more vocal is something that still makes him him. You know what I mean?
Right, right. That because you do have to be yourself as you go through this. You can't play outside of your own skin. And I think that's where some of this can get lost, is you can't force somebody to be somebody they're not, or you're not going to get the results that you want to see. And I do think that the Cavs have done a really good job with getting Evan to grow and expand his game while still allowing him to still be Evan Mobley, because that can be a tricky part of development too.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, he's not going to be as demonstrative as Draymond Green. He's not going to be as loud as Kevin Garnett. Like, he's a different kind of person, and he's a different kind of player. But being a little bit louder on the defensive end of the floor, that could help. Being a little bit more forceful consistently on the offensive end. And it's not to say that he hasn't, but just continuing to enhance those parts of his game.
Chris Fuhrer with us now in the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Chris, we did get the first results for All-Star voting, the fan voting that came out yesterday. Evan Mobley was 10th amongst front court players. Donovan Mitchell was second behind only LaMelo Ball for backcourt players, both in the Eastern Conference. Obviously, were you surprised Darius Garland was not in the top 10 amongst Eastern Conference guards?
Oh, yeah, very much so. And I know it's a hard situation for Darius, and this is something that his people were a little bit fearful of when all of that reporting came out following the season about, you know, Darius and looking for a different spot for him where it can kind of be his team, he can kind of flourish. You know, when you're playing with Donovan Mitchell in the backcourt, and Donovan's going to get so much of the attention, and he's going to get so much of the praise, and he's going to get so much of the love, is Darius going to be able to make All-Star games? Is Darius going to be able to make All-NBA teams? Is Darius going to be able to get the kind of recognition for the shoe stuff that his people want him to get? You know, it's just, it's a wonder that people have inside his camp of how much recognition is he going to get for what the Cavs have done to this point, for what the Cavs have become to this point. And I think it's absolutely ridiculous that Jordan Poole has more votes than Darius Garland.
Yeah,
I think it's crazy that LaMelo Ball is the leader for guards in the Eastern Conference. Like, at some point, you just have to reward the right things. If you're going to open up voting to the fans, and I totally understand that fans are a huge part of this game and they're going to have a say, and not everybody's going to be looking at it and saying, who's the most deserving? Who's the most worthy? They're going to be looking at it saying, who do I like watching? What kind of game is fun for me to watch? What player is going to be fun for me to watch in the All-Star game? But, I mean, Darius has to be higher on that list. He is a big engine for the game. That's the thing, too, Danny, that I think some people nationally have kind of latched onto is that, you know, Donovan Mitchell is doing all of this for the Cavs and, you know, so much of it has been about him and his leadership and his empowerment. And that's a big part of it. There's no doubt about it. But this idea that these other guys are just tagging along for the ride, like, that's not true. That hasn't been what has happened in the first 30 plus games. Darius has had a bounce back year. Darius has been great. He's been one of the offensive engines for this team. He's been a big reason why they're 29-4. And some of the guys that he's behind on the list, it's disappointing. But the truth is that Darius was always going to have to get into the All-Star game through the coaches' vote. He was never going to be popular enough, and he was never going to be in the same conversation as Donovan Mitchell, Trae Young, some of these other guys, Jalen Brunson, some of these other guys that are going to be competing for the starting spots in the All-Star game. His best path has always been as a reserve. And the truth is, at this point in time, you know, Danny, there are six locks for the All-Star game. The Jays in Boston, Donovan, Carl Anthony Towns, and Jalen Brunson out of New York, and Giannis. Those are like six locks for the All-Star game.
Right.
And then you have 10, 12 different guys fighting for the other six spots. And Darius and Evan are going to be two of those guys amongst those 10 or 12 that are fighting for those final six spots. And it's going to be really, really difficult. I'm not saying that the Cavs don't deserve it, but it's going to be really, really difficult for them to get three. It just is.
I think it is going to be difficult. I was disappointed, like you, to see him not in the top 10 of the voting yesterday. And I think that LaMelo Ball being as high up as he was is probably a really bad sign for Darius Garland's candidacy. Not because Darius isn't a better player. I certainly think he is, but if LaMelo Ball is going to be in that game, I just don't know that there's going to be room because that takes up a spot. That's basically how I viewed that.
Yes, there's one benefit that Darius has that came out yesterday that was kind of unexpected. And for years, Jaylen Brown has been listed as a guard. Seeing him in the front court listing yesterday was really, really interesting, and that kind of helps Darius's case, hurts Evans, but helps Darius's case. But again, I just think as much as coaches probably want to put three in because the Cavs are the best team in the NBA and because they're a legitimate title contender and they've got multiple guys that are worthy of consideration, I just don't think coaches are going to find, you know, two reserve spots for two Cavs players, given all the other pieces that they're going to have to choose from. I mean, Cade Cunningham's been great. I think he's probably going to get consideration for a spot. Tyler Hero has been really, really good for the Miami Heat. So there's just a lot of guys that are worthy, both at guard and at front court. But I do think it helps Darius that one of the guys that was standing in his way that was supposedly a guard is listed as a front court player.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com with us. Chris, enjoy Dallas. Hope you got some good barbecue while they are down there. And I will see you when you get back.
I went to Terry Black's barbecue last night, and it was just, it was wonderful. I had a 30-minute walk back after going to Terry Black's, and it probably needed to be like an hour or an hour and a half for me to walk off everything that I ate there. You order it at Terry Black's per pound. Like, you go up to the counter, and they have all of the meats right there for you. They cut it, they weigh it right in front of you. So it's such a fresh cut, and you get to see how big the piece is. So I had a half a pound of brisket and a half a pound of ribs, and then I got mac and cheese and cornbread. So, like, I'm set, I think, until tomorrow when it comes to eating here in Dallas.
Congratulations on all your success.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It was wonderful.
Well, I expect to see a bigger version of Chris Fedor on Sunday when the Cavs are back in town. Chris, appreciate the time, man.
You got it, man. Anytime.